I Shi Gurvei Namaha. So as I mentioned, today is the auspicious disappearance day of Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Of course, when we talk about the disappearance day or days of great personalities, they're always auspicious because the great personality, first of all, is simply going somewhere else to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Secondly, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So this is very important too, that we can also have the association of Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Of course, we don't have so much of his direct writings, but we have the association of Srila Prabhupada, and by taking Srila Prabhupada's association, we're able to imbibe the association of the previous acharyas too, which is very wonderful. So, as far as Madhavendra Puri is concerned, he is actually considered, let's say, the source of the understanding of the intimate exchanges between Radha and Krishna in our Sampradaya. Of course, the Sampradaya is called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Now, generally, if you just take from Madhvacharya, we're not talking about Madhavendra Puri, we're talking about Madhvacharya right now, then you will simply understand the mood of worship of Krishna in awe and reverence. That's the mood generally that comes from the Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means rules and regulations. The one performs rules and regulations to please Krishna, and one approaches Krishna in a mood of reverence. In other words, God. Whereas, in the intimate mood taught by the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one approaches Krishna as one's friend, as one's son, and ultimately, in terms of the conjugal relationship, and ultimately in the topmost part of the conjugal relationship, is the unalloyed love the gopis have for Krishna, that is parakya bhav. There's two things, there's swakya and parakya. Swakya means one's own, which means married, for example, and parakya means unmarried. So that is the topmost understanding. So the symptoms of ecstasy in that understanding were fully exhibited by Shripad Madhavendra Puri. And, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would continually comment when he ran into someone who was exhibiting those symptoms of ecstasy in his various travels. He would say, you must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri. And in fact, you'll see many of Lord Chaitanya's associates were either initiated by Madhavendra Puri or associated with Madhavendra Puri. I mean, Lord Nityananda, for example. Advaitacharya accepted initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And we'll speak a little bit about that in a few minutes. So Lord Nityananda, of course, met Madhavendra Puri in Western India while they were in pilgrimage. And somehow or other, they recognized each other, immediately embraced each other, and they remained for hours unconscious. Their followers, of course, Lord Nityananda was pretty much traveling alone. He was a very young person at that time, having left home, being taken away from home by a sannyasi. And his father, Hadai Pandit, was, of course, completely in misery, losing Lord Nityananda, Nitai. So anyway, so that was one story of Lord Nityananda's interactions with Madhavendra Puri. And there's also the story that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told about Madhavendra Puri's interactions with his disciple Ishwara Puri, who became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Madhavendra Puri was getting ready to leave this world, he was exhibiting the topmost of the topmost symptoms of ecstasy, which are generally described as vipralamba, or the symptom of intense separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, this intense separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, vipralamba seva, is the mood which the gopis generally worshipped Krishna. And when this mood is fully manifest, it's more in connection than actually meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's many different stages between the Lord and his devotees. I mean, one of them is Purvaraga. Purvaraga is like right before, Purva means the beginning or right before. Right before Krishna is going to meet with the gopis, their anticipation of the meeting. And then when Krishna is meeting with the gopis, Sambandha, there's them meeting with the gopis are in anxiety that Krishna is going to leave. And then when Krishna has left, the gopis are in anxiety because Krishna has left. And of course we know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that anxiety is so intense that a moment is like, Prabhupada describes it 12 years or more, but literally the Shikshashtaka says, yugayitam. It's like a whole yuga. A yuga, a divya yuga, like 8,400,000 years, you know, a tremendous amount of time, or 4 million years. So that's really intense. Really intense. So Madhavendra Puri, when he's getting ready to leave this world, being taken care of by Ishwara Puri, who rendered menial service to his guru. And menial service means that he cleansed the body of the guru, and I mean all the things that are required when someone is leaving the body and they no longer can control their bodily functions. Of course, in the case of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada Madhavendra Puri, we can take this as a pastime that Krishna has arranged to allow the disciples to engage in intimate service. We saw that in the case of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj too. That Krishna arranges this. It's not, you can't just say it's karma. I mean, sometimes offenders, they look at a pure devotee and they say, well, he's suffering, that's his karma. Like they said that about Narottama Das Thakur in the final days of Narottama Das Thakur. That's his karma because he's a Shudra and he initiated Brahmanas. And Narottama Das Thakur was on top of the funeral pyre. And the disciples were so upset to hear this criticism, they conveyed this to Narottama Das Thakur. And Narottama Das Thakur at that point manifested a giant golden Brahman thread on his chest, stepped down from the funeral pyre, and everyone was just like shocked. You know, but people do criticize, say no. You know, you hear this all the time. You know, if a devotee passes away in an automobile accident, or a devotee passes away through some disease, or a devotee passes away through old age, they say, oh, it's very inauspicious. But how else are you going to pass away? Right. You know, just like, huh? You know, old age. You know, you just have a few choices here, you know. You know, what do they expect? I mean, does flower airplane to come down and you just step into the flower airplane and go back to God in the self-same body? I mean, that happened in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. But that's extremely, or Tukaram. You know, Tukaram got in this, Vaikuntha airplane, said goodbye to his wife. His wife said, I'm not coming. But that's extremely rare. So you see these people, they criticize not understanding the mood and the purpose of the devotee leaving the body in such a way, and they just want to find fault in Vaishnavas. Anyway, so as far as Ishwara Puri, of course, he didn't find fault in his spiritual master. He took care of his spiritual master very humbly, and his spiritual master was so pleased with him that he gave him the benediction that he would become the guru of God. That's a pretty good benediction. It'd be nice to have a disciple like that, isn't it? Who's your disciple? God. I mean, you really have to be Krishna conscious to have God as your disciple. So, anyway, but on the other hand, then you have the other disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ramchandra Puri. And Ramchandra Puri was finding fault in his own guru. His guru was crying out, oh my Lord, I have not reached Mathura. And he was crying. You know, these are the symptoms of Vyabhachari Bhava. There's 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas, like crying, rolling on the floor, you know, just unconsciousness. And then this Ramchandra Puri began to preach to his guru, And saying Gurudev, you have to be absorbed in Brahman. You know, this is like, for a pure devotee, being told that is like an offense against Krishna. It's like a slap in the face. Brahman? I mean, what's the attractive feature of Brahman? There's no attractive feature of Brahman. Of course, Brahman comes from Krishna, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. But Prabhupada Saraswati says, Kaivalya Nanakayate, that the those who merge in Brahman or think of Brahman, it's like hell. So that's his version. And so it's like, it's actually like being told by your disciple to go to hell. Because that's how a pure devotee sees meditation on Brahman. You know what I'm saying? So imagine you're leaving your body, thinking, oh, Krishna, I want to reach you. And your disciple says, well, I think you should go to hell, Gurudev. I mean, that's really what, psychologically, how Madhavendra Puri took it. You have to understand how a pure devotee thinks. And then so Madhavendra Puri said, I could not reach Vrindavan Mathura. And now this rascal has come to harass me. So get out of here. I don't want to see your face again. So that was the final instruction that Ramchandra Puri got from his guru. Generally, we cherish the final instruction we get from our guru. But that's not something you cherish. And therefore, this Ramchandra Puri's desire, material desires grew more and more. You see that when one commits an offense against a great devotee. Material desires grow. And therefore, he became an offender against many devotees. And later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it describes how he became an offender even against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he criticized Lord Chaitanya for eating too much because he saw, or eating sweets because he saw ants crawling on Lord Chaitanya's, the floor of Lord Chaitanya's room. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually reduced his eating to practically nil, much to the chagrin of the devotees. And so, basically, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, showing Vaishnava etiquette, never criticized Ramchandra Puri. He just tolerated and waited until Ramchandra Puri left. And of course, then they began to eat normally again. He said, Hari Bol, boy, I'm glad he's gone. So, that's what happened with Ramchandra Puri and Ishvara Puri. So, The story of Madhavendra Puri, apart from that aspect of the story, was actually told, by Lord Chaitanya. And he heard this story from Ishvara Puri. And Lord Chaitanya told the story to the devotees when they were, in Ramuna. Ramuna is the place of the deity of Shira Chora Gopinath. And we'll describe that story in a second because that's related with Madhavendra Puri's pastimes. But this deity of Shira Chora Gopinath was carved by Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra was asked by Sita Devi when they were going through Ramuna. Ramuna means beautiful place, actually. And he was asked by Sita Devi, what do you look like in the Dwarpa Yuga? And Lord Ramchandra took a stone, and with his arrow he started to scrape away at the stone, and he carved this deity. And that's why the deity is like a relief deity. It's three-dimensional, not quite three-dimensional, but not two-dimensional either. It's like, it's called bas relief, for those of you who know about art. It's like a relief panel. So the deity is in this panel like that, and it's a very beautiful deity. And of course, we'll hear later on how they offer that deity sheer, that means condensed milk. And the condensed milk is made from the, it's not store-bought milk, but it's made from the cows that are actually connected with the deity room in the temple. The deity room is right in front of the Goshala. I mean, actually, you just go behind the deity room, like if you're circumambulating the deities, then there's a little window there, you look in the window and all the cows are looking at you. Really cool. And also in Ramuna, you find Madhavendra Puri's samadhi, and you also will find Rasikananda's samadhi there in Ramuna. It's a very beautiful place. It's difficult to get to. We've been there several times, spent the night there, had Mangal Arati there. It's very nice. And of course, took the kheer, the condensed milk. They put it in these little containers about this small. and devotees really go wild over that kheer. But I remember that when I ate that kheer, I didn't want to eat the rest of the day. It was so filling, you know, just one. Of course, some devotees ate 10, but anyway. What can I say? But I took one, and it was just so filling. The devotees kept saying, do you want to eat anything else? No, this is ecstatic. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the story about Madhavendra Puri while the devotees were in Ramuna. And later on, Lord Nityananda heard this story too, and repeated it. So when Lord Chaitanya went to Ramuna, he went to see Sri Achara Gopinath, and a flower-crowned Madhidi fell on Lord Chaitanya's head. You can imagine how close he was to the deity. Nowadays, you can't get that close to the deity. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to tell the story. So this is all from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking, and that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here's the story. Once upon a time, a Madhavendra Puri who had achieved the highest stage, of course he's an absolutely pure devotee, Nityananda devotee, so when we say achieved, that's not really taken literally. He's always at the highest stage. Who was at the highest stage of devotional service, the Paramahamsa stage, the highest stage of sannyas. And in the beginning, when one first takes sannyas, one's a little worried about what one's going to eat, so the wife still sends him some food through the sons. I mean, it's not that the wife comes and says, dear, here's your food, but she sends it. And then, let's go Bahudak and then Guti Chak. And then one, after some time, one begins to do manukari for food. But when one reaches the Paramahamsa stage, of course in the Parvajakacharya stage, then one still asks for food sometimes. But in the Paramahamsa stage, one doesn't even ask for food. One just somehow or other thinks if Krishna wants me to starve, I'll starve. And if Krishna wants me to eat, I'll eat. That's Paramahamsa. It's even a higher stage than Madhukari, where you actually go begging door to door for food. Paramahamsa is completely detached. So anyway, Madhavendra Puri was on that stage, so he never asked anyone for food. So he was going to the holy places in India. Finally, he reached Govardhan Hill, and he circumambulated Govardhan Hill, took his bath in Govindakund. Govindakund is the kund formed by Indra's bathing Krishna when he went to apologize to Krishna after having attempted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. It's one of the most wonderful places. There's actually many sacrifices that are performed in Govindakund. Right next to Govindakund is the city of Aniyor. And Aniyor, of course, means give me more, give me more. And it was named after when Krishna, 5,000 years ago, was demanding more and more food when he took the gigantic form of Govardhan and said, give me more, give me more. And he ate everything. And the villagers said, there ain't no more. And then someone had the intelligence to give Krishna a tulsi leaf. And then Krishna burped and he said, I've had enough. So that therefore the village is called Aniyor. And right next to the village of Aniyor, there's this place called Anakut Shetra. Shetra means like a place, means place, and Anakut means the where you offer the grains. There's many grains, many grains being offered. So it's like there were mountains of grains of rice, and of course puris or whatever else they offered at that particular time. They were offered to Govardhan. So this is where Madhavendra Puri was, and that's where Govindakund is, right next to this Anakut Shetra. Also, In this village of Aniyor, there's a deity of Lord Balaram. You know, of course, Dauji, typical name, Balaram. Dauji means older brother. And this deity is 5,000 years old, installed by Brajanava, who is Krishna's great-grandson. Right in the middle of the village. It's very hard to see. And the deity is actually probably taller than me. Yeah, but there's a little Krishna right next to him. So big blackish, because that's the stone that Brajanava utilized to carve the original deities. Big black deity, tall, and then there's a little Krishna about this small right next to him. So it's easy to see who is Balaram and who is Krishna. So anyway, so this is the scenario. And also right next to the Govinda Kund, there's this kund called Sankarshan Kund, which is the kund where Lord Balaram kept all the water that fell elsewhere in Braj, not the water that fell on top of Govardhan, because the water that fell on top of Govardhan was evaporated by the Sudarshan Chakra. And that Sudarshan Chakra hovered over the Manasaganga Lake and actually evaporated all the water. So this is the I'm just trying to explain the locale where Manavendra Puri was. So he was there, and he was in ecstasy and pilgrimage, but he didn't ask anybody for food. And basically he was just chanting and happy even though he didn't eat. And what happened is a little boy came along with a pot of milk and said, no, in my village fast, you know, the ladies in my village saw that there was a sannyasi there who wasn't eating, so they sent me to give you this milk. So he said, this is the quote, no one fasts in our village. And then the boy left, and then Manavendra Puri had a dream that night, and in that dream, this boy took Manavendra Puri by the hand to a bush, and he said that I've been hidden in this bush because the Muslims have come, and we know that the Muslims would come from time to time to destroy the deities. I mean, it's horrendous what they have done to many of these, not only religious places, but also even historical places around the world. And if you go to some of the temples in India, the carvings on the outside of the temples, you'll see that the faces have smashed. They actually tried to smash all the recognizable features of any face. On the higher levels, no. But practically all over India, you see the faces smashed on the lower levels of the temples, the outside of the temples. So many deities were hidden from the Muslims when they came. So anyway, Krishna, who took the form of this little boy in Madhavendra Puri's dream, said that you should construct a temple on the hill and wash me. My name is Gopal, and I was installed by Brajanava, which I mentioned before. He's the great-grandson of Krishna. He's Aniruddha's son. You know, there's Krishna and Rukmini, and they had Prajuna, who was actually Cupid. And then they had Aniruddha, who married. Does anyone remember who Aniruddha married? Famous story. Usha. Aniruddha married Usha, and as a result of that, Brajanava came. And Brajanava, of course, when he came to Braj, not only did he come to establish the holy places and to install deities, but he came with the remainder of Krishna's queens that were there. There were some still around. Because there are 16,108 queens. That's a lot of queens. Some of the queens were actually kidnapped by Krishna, who took the form of like cowherds. Anyway, there's a whole story in the Bhagavatam. But there were a few remaining ones. So when Brajanava came to Vrindavan, and he had a kirtan, then Krishna appeared magically, and all the gopis, the reigning gopis, and all the associates, they all appeared at the same time and danced during the kirtan for Brajanava. Interesting. And even Uddhava came out of the ground. Because Uddhava is residing in Braj as the grass, as a creeper, because he wants to be stepped on by Krishna's devotees, especially the gopis. So Madhavendra Puri had this dream, and then the next day, he took the villagers there with all their choppers, I mean scythes, and they went and they found Gopal there. And they cut Gopal out of the bushes and brought him up to the top of Govardhan Hill. Now, the place where Gopal was discovered is called the Gopal Prakat. And there's Gopal Prakat Shila. That's also there within the village of Anior. Has anyone been there with me? Yeah, you went there with me, right? Did you see that? Isn't it? It's a very isolated place. They're building a new temple. Actually, there's a lot of work going on in Govardhan being done by members of the Nimbarka Sampradaya. Because it's interesting, the members of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, they also understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. But the Madhvacharyas, or the Madhvites, they really don't understand that unless they're connected with Madhavendra Puri. But Nimbarka, they're very much into these different pastimes between Radha and Krishna. So you'll find many similarities. It's interesting, between our understanding of Radha and Krishna's pastimes and the Nimbarkacharya's understandings that he gave to his disciples. And then also as far as the Achinchabeda Beda Tattva taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll find many similarities to what was taught by Sripad Ramanujacharya as Vishishta Dvaita. So, in other words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the best of each Sampradaya and he gave us the highest understanding, because each Sampradaya contributed something, something important. Anyway, so, getting back to the point of Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri went to the village and he gathered everyone to perform the Abhishek ceremony. So they gathered water from Govindakund in 900 pots, and they had a giant Abhishek, like we had our Panchatattva Maha Abhishek, so there was also a giant Abhishek, which they bathed the deities with Panchagavya means the five products of the cow, like the urine and the stool and the milk and the ghee and the yogurt. Those are the five. Got it? And then a Panchamrita, which you also have the milk and the yogurt, but you have the sugar and the honey like that. So your Panchagavya and Panchamrita are the bathed deities. And then they distributed prasadam to everybody. Of course, everyone was happy to take prasadam. And Madhavendra Puri, in order to continue the deity worship, initiated some pure brahmanas that happened to be there. So the ceremony went on again and again for many days, because the different villages came and Madhavendra Puri gave them the opportunity to perform the same Abhishek ceremony. So it was like a several month Abhishek ceremony on top of Govardhan Hill, remember. Now, it's interesting that we're not allowed to climb Govardhan Hill. The Nimbarka people, the Nimbarkacharya followers, they do climb Govardhan Hill. But at that time, the devotees did climb Govardhan Hill to worship Gopal, who later on was taken, of course, to Nathdwar and became Nachi, or Srinathji, because the Muslims were attacking too much. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refused to climb Govardhan Hill. So when he wanted to see Nachi, or Gopal, then Gopal came down from the hill so he could see him. And the way Gopal came down from the hill, there was a rumor the Muslims were attacking, so they took Gopal off the hill, and they brought him to Mathura, and Lord Chaitanya was able to see him. The same thing with Sanatana Goswami and some of the other devotees. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has forbidden us from climbing Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is Krishna. We don't put our feet on Krishna. Definitely we don't put our feet on Krishna. Non-different to Krishna. And great devotees worship Govardhan Shilas, that means stones from Govardhan Hill, because these stones are non-different from Krishna, Krishna's transcendental body. Anyway, so this ceremony went on for many, many days. And after 2 years, not that the ceremony went on for 2 years, but the worship went on at that point for 2 years, Madhavendra Puri had a dream. And in that dream, Gopal appeared to him and said, "I've been really hot, you know, all these this bathing's been kind of nice, but, you know, I was in the bushes for so long, and Govardhan's the hottest place on earth," which is true, hottest inhabited place on earth. It's not the hottest place, the hottest inhabited place on earth. It gets up to centigrade 50 degrees sometimes there in the summer. I've been there in the summer. And it is hot. That's why in India, it used to be said when the English were inhabiting India, they said the only people who go out in the middle day are mad dogs and Englishmen. It's one of the I think Rudyard Kipling said that, if I remember correctly. So anyway, so Gopal complained, "I'm still hot. You got to do something. I need sandalwood." It's interesting. Sandalwood is meant for cooling one. And I find it quite interesting that even when it's extremely cold in places, devotees still put sandalwood on Prabhupada. I found it illogical. Because Prabhupada only wanted sandalwood put on him when it was warm, when it was cooling. I mean, mustard oil warms you. Sandalwood cools you. And Prabhupada, the way they put on, you're supposed to put on the sides of the forehead like that. So it's not a ritual. It's actually a practical application to help cool someone. That's what sandalwood is for. It's not just like some fancy ritual, but devotees forget that sometimes and they put sandalwood. I've seen like when it's freezing in the temple room and they have Prabhupada wrapped up in a hat and everything, they'll put sandalwood on Prabhupada's forehead. Doesn't make sense to me. And then they want to put it on my forehead. I said, no, I'm freezing to death. So sandalwood is for that. Anyway, so, okay, of course, at that time, if you want to get sandalwood, you had to go to Jagannath Puri because that's where the sandalwood was kept in the Malaya provinces. Later on in Malaya, whatever you pronounce it, that's where you get sandalwood. Sandalwood is very hard to get nowadays. In India, whatever you buy as far as sandalwood oil, it's not sandalwood oil. It's actually flavored. So it smells like sandalwood oil. Even I asked that of the Pujaris in Mayapur, and they said, no, you can't get sandalwood oil in India. It's impossible. Of course, I've been able to supply some sandalwood oil to the deities here, because I have one disciple in Fiji who actually buys the sandalwood wood, and he makes it into sandalwood. He distills it into sandalwood oil, so I know it's pure. But otherwise, it's actually impossible to get. Now, even if it smells like it, that's not what it is. That's what they told me in Mayapur. So anyway, so Gopal asked for sandalwood. So Madhavendra Puri proceeded towards Puri. And he went through Bengal. That's generally how you get to Puri. And on the way, he initiated Advaita Acharya. That's pretty good. So Advaita Acharya is also God. So he was also the guru of God. And then he went to Ramuna. And he went to in front of the deity, Shirachara Gopinath. And he asked, what do you offer the deities here? I mean, not because he was thinking, boy, oh boy, I want to eat the Mahaprasadam. He was thinking, I want to learn what they do in different temples so I can serve Gopal nicely. And so they explained that they offered to the Shirachara Gopinath something called Amrita Keli, which is 12 pots of Shira, and it's called Gopinath Shira. And it's like nowhere else in the world can you actually taste this. It's true. Actually, that's been my experience when I took this Gopinath Shira. Anyone here ever been to Ramuna? You have?
Yeah.
Did you take the sweet rice?
No, we didn't. There was a time they're serving sweet rice.
You just have to bribe them. I mean, we got about 50 pots of sweet rice. Anyway, so he was thinking, I want to taste this syrup because I want to make it for Gopal, not because I want to enjoy. And he became ashamed. He said, wow, I want to taste before the offering's made. This is a great offense. So he left the temple, went to the marketplace. Actually, the marketplace in Ramuna is right in front of the temple. You know, the whole layout there. And he went to sleep, or dozed, or chanted Hare Krishna. Because the pure devotee doesn't sleep. And then in the middle of the night, the priest of Shirachara Gopinath had a dream, and in that dream, the deity said to him, as Gopinath said to him, I've stolen some sweet rice for my devotee Madhavendra Puri, and I've hidden it under my cloth. And so you find him, he's in the marketplace somewhere, and give it to him. So the priest woke up, of course took a bath, went on the altar, found the sweet rice, and he gave it to Madhavendra Puri, who cried out, if anyone's here named Madhavendra Puri, please let him come out. You're the most fortunate person in all the three worlds. Of course, it's understood the priest was also a pure devotee, to have that sort of interaction with the Lord. So Madhavendra Puri was astounded. He ate the sweet rice, washed the pot, and for the rest of his pastimes, he kept the pieces of this pot and ate a little piece every day. I mean, if something happens to you, obviously you don't forget that, right? And these are clay pots. So every day he just like, it was like part of his sadhana, he would eat a piece of that clay pot. Then he left Ramuna, went to Jagannath Puri, collected the camphor and sandalwood, and got two servants and also the papers so he could travel with the sandalwood. Because there was there was a lot of restrictions about traveling with sandalwood. Then he reached Ramuna, and in his dream, he had another dream, Gopal came to him and said, I've already accepted the sandalwood. I don't want you to have to walk all the way across India, because that's a long walk to go from Bengal back to Vrindavan. I mean, it's very long. I mean, probably would take a month or something like that to make that walk. And there weren't roads in that day, those days, and there were dacoits and everything, which there are, and you have to go through some of the states, like Bihar. Bihar is actually a criminal state in India. It still is, to a large extent. I was just reading about the Padyatra. I don't know if anyone read about this. They went through Bihar, and then one night the dacoits came, and they tied up all the devotees, started beating them, stole everything. Luckily, the police heard the explosions, because dacoits, they had guns. Everyone in Bihar has guns. It's like the Wild West. Like the old West movies that you see sometimes that you shouldn't see. So the police came, but a lot of the devotees had to go to the hospital. And then the devotees, at that point, they made a decision, whenever we're in Bihar, we only stay in the cities. That's the Padyatra, because it's such a dangerous place. Even the chief minister of Bihar, the previous chief minister of Bihar, was in prison. What's his name? Lal Prasad? Yeah. Anyway, interesting state. And of course, that's where Jarasandha came from. Jarasandha was one of the primary demons in Krishna's pastime. So, anyway, so Gopal said, I've already accepted this, so give this sandalwood to Gopinath. And he wanted to save Madhavendra Puri the trouble of traveling in this area because of the Muslims, etc., like that, like I mentioned before. So that's basically the story. The final verse that Madhavendra Puri chanted is a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani. The verse that he was criticized for by Ramchandra Puri. This is Radharani's verse. He was quoting, and he got criticized for reciting or quoting that verse by his disciple. Pretty bad, isn't it? And here's the verse. Ai dina dada dayadra natahe Mathura nata kadava lokya se adayasha twara loka kataraya tayita brahm yati ya karom yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? An intense separation there. And of course, in the works of Srila Rupa Goswami, particularly in the Lalita Madhava, you have a description of Radharani jumping into the Yamuna River, feeling so much separation from Krishna after Krishna left Vrindavan, and leaving this world, of course, going to the sun planet, and later on coming down, expanding as Satyabhama in the Dwarka Leela. I think that's all we have time for today. Sounds like it. Any questions? What's that? Jatila. That's nice. Also who? Ramchandra Puri is Vibhishan. But Vibhishan would never act against the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, Jatila, Kutila. Vibhishan's a pure devotee. Vibhishan comes like once every year to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Some people see this giant come out of the sea in Jagannath Puri, and then he comes back to normal size. And then he goes to the Puri, to the temple in Jagannath Puri to take darshan. That's Vibhishan. He's a great devotee. We worship Vibhishan. So any other questions or comments? So Madhavendra Puri, a wonderful devotee, we should remember him today, and we're all descendants, disciplic descendants. This is our real family, our real roots. That's our roots, you understand? Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what a family. Yeah. Well, if you're not going on Sankirtan. Don't worry. You know, you've never been offensive. Okay. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada.